I mean, Mark Bradley's bad news. He'll be out for the season. He's had a scan, and it's not just about cartilage that we thought. If it's a cartilage, the medical team seemed to think we could just manage that through on a looking after him in the week. But we think he's also tweaked his ACL ligament a little bit, which means he'll certainly be out for the season. So we'll get that confirmed early next week. But that's the prognosis I'm understanding it to be. So that's a blow, but it's not a massive blow. We're not sitting here and saying we've lost our best player, but we've lost a very consistent player and an excellent professional. So that hurts us.
Yeah, it's a difficult time to have an injury like that as well when you're in the sort of the final straight now. And for the last few weeks, you've managed to avoid serious injuries, haven't you?
Yeah, there's only one plus in it, in the sense that we're not sitting here saying he's out for 3 or 4 weeks, and then you're having a question to yourself whether if we're in the playoffs, would he be back and fit and have enough game time for the playoffs? You're either in the mix now going forward for 6 weeks, or you're out the mix. And sadly for Mark, we all feel from, we got the news on Tuesday afternoon, we all feel from, but it is what it is, so we'll miss him. But I'm sure the boys will try and go that extra yard for him as well.
Do you feel like you've got to replace him now with the loan window closing next week?
Yeah, we're looking at it now. You know, we're just weighing up all the options that we've got. It's not a case of just replacing Bradders, because what we shouldn't forget is he's only played about 44% of the games. So he's not been ever-present, if you like. There's suddenly a massive blow in the terms of getting out, but he's played a big role when he's come into games, and he's been strong defensively for us. So we're looking at all the options now, but the chairman is once again giving me a green light if I want to do something. Nothing will happen for the weekend, but there is some telephone calls happening now.
What's the market like right now? Because teams are trying to keep their squads together predominantly, aren't they? You know, this stage in the year with just a week to go, are we going to see a lot of moves, do you think?
The market's good if you're Rotherham United, because people want to come here, don't they? You know, we're not just playing the season out. They see Phil House is coming to the New York, they see big games, they see potentially a playoff campaign that everyone would wish to be involved in football. So we've had different options. As whether we want to pursue certain options is a question, because if we're going to bring in somebody to the squad at this stage, Rob, it's not just about a cover situation, because, you know, we've got other players that can cover us. We just want to make sure that we have some quality around, and if it is the playoffs, then the season extends another 2.5-3 weeks, so we need to make sure that we cover all the bases, and on that basis we might be looking at bringing someone in.
Has Danny Rowe been recalled? I seem to have seen that somewhere.
Well, Danny's on a youth loan, so we just didn't let him play for them on Tuesday night. He comes back with us, but he'll probably play for them on Saturday. He'll not start for us on Saturday, but the first thing you do when you get someone like the Mad Bradley news is you bosh everything and you go back strong in-house. And because he's on a youth loan, of course, you get the flexibility where he can play for both clubs. And us being his parent club, then we get, of course, first option on him. So as we sit at the moment, he'll probably go and play with Stalybridge on Saturday. But we'll have a good look at it. And, you know, Stalybridge, you always judge a club by reaction in a crisis. And we just, on a whim, says we're bringing young Danny Rowe back. And the manager and the chairman were fully compliant, helped us, no issues at all. And on that basis, because of how good they were, then I'll probably release them to them for Saturday.
How's the rest of the squad looking? Are you pretty healthy otherwise, apart from the Bradley news?
Yeah, we are. Probably Wes Thomas he'll probably miss the weekend. I could play him if it was the last game of the season, but the medical staff want to give him till Monday to be 100% right. He probably only stripped last week at 9-2. He didn't have enough training time in him, but he's trained. He's trained again today. He'll train tomorrow. He'll train all weekend. So we'll have 100% fit Wes on Saturday, so he'll probably miss. But James Tavern has trained for the last couple of days, he's been fine. Claude Davis has trained, he's been fine. Everyone else is good.
You had a bit of paper down there a moment ago, and it said Steve Evans 100 not out, obviously 100 games in charge of the Millers now. It's a significant landmark, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a very proud moment when you'd normally get an opportunity to manage a club like Rotherham United, but when you get through 100 matches for them. And And on top of that, when you see the win ratio at top side of 50%, it's a staggering statistic when people look at their own managers and don't just think it's an easy stat to achieve. But I've got lots and lots of people, too many people that I could be speaking for a week perhaps to name and thank for their input. But obviously my chairman and vice chairman must come in at my thoughts immediately. of course, my staff and my players. Without my players and staff, nothing would happen. And the Miller support, you know, they gave me an opportunity when I walked in here on the day when we were at Don Valley at home to Cheltenham, and I said I would lead them out of the league. And thankfully for me as a manager, I led them up. And because the previous, another manager, not previous, but another manager who said he'd lead them out of the league, led them down. So I've been quite lucky. But everyone has played a major part, the local media, everyone, the administration staff, everyone down to the people that make our teas and lunches and people that clean our toilets, and everyone's in this together.
Given where the club was when you took over, 100 games later now in the playoff positions in League One, in 100 games' time, where could this club be, do you think? Another 100?
Well, I genuinely think it could be in the Championship, probably with an objective to be in the Premiership. And I base that on when you look at recent times and you see the likes of Blackpool, you know, who had a fantastic campaign under Ian and got to the Premiership. And you see the likes of Wigan Athletic under Dave Whelan, who drove his club to the Premiership. And, you know, if you sit there in a cold light of day, who's the biggest club between those three? And I think the Millers, supporters of those other clubs, would think those clubs. Of course they would. But so I think a realistic objective is in that time scale is to be playing Championship football. But the minute I know that when this club, whether I'm good enough to take it there, but when this club plays in the Championship, Tony Stewart will immediately be having conversations about the Premiership, because it's the nature of our leader.
And you know, when you talk about stuff like that, the expectation level at this club is just going to grow and grow with the success that you've had so far, especially if you get to the playoffs this year. Is that sort of going to be a new challenge? Because the expectation was always there in League Two, but it just gets a little bit different, doesn't it, as you move further up?
Well, the progress has been staggering, isn't it? Off the pitch and on the pitch. And normally what you get with football clubs that are making rapid progress off the pitch is normally the team's poor. Or normally what you get is staggering progress on the pitch and the facilities are rubbish. What their chairman allowed us to do is he put a stadium and training facilities in place and then said, well, I want the team to match that, and both have come together. And almost like, you know, what can I say, coffee and cream, you know, they've come together and it's been fantastic. But we don't for one minute ever forget how hard it's been in the last 22, 23 months since I've walked in the door, and we don't for one minute don't think it's going to be as hard the next 22, 23 months, because it is. But we are a football club that's a big shining lighthouse in a dark, dark ocean. We are. We've got fantastic new stadium. It's town centre location. We've got record attendances last year, the best in Europe for increased attendances. We've increased again this year. We're taking more supporters away. We'll take a maximum allocation down to Peterborough on Saturday. It's a fantastic club to be part of, and I'm just extremely proud and very fortunate that I am the manager of this football club.
Do you think you've got enough credit for what you've done so far at Rotherham? And I ask that because if you had an Italian name, for example, or, you know, if you were a foreign manager, you may well be getting pumped up right now as for the job that you've done, and maybe because it's Steve Evans instead from Scotland, you're not getting quite as much credit.
Well, I think people in football do take notice. Everyone takes notice inside the game as to what's going on, and that's why in probably in my 22 months here, I've had three opportunities to consider about leaving the Millers, or to go to a higher level, and I've never once really given any serious consideration, real consideration, as to whether I would do it. Unlike when I joined the Millers, there was some serious consideration, and then I decided it would perhaps could be something that's absolutely right for me. But I've only achieved a small part of what I thought I could achieve when I walked in the door here. I know our chairman, every day he talks to me about how we can be better on and off the pitch, and infrastructure and team and players. And I've even got my chairman flying with me to Europe next week when we're going to look at a couple of players. So things are very much very, very progressive.
Mentioning that trip then, it seems like you are sort of planning ahead for the summer, whether in the Championship or in League One, you're still starting to put those plans in place now.
Well, I said when we started signing players here for Rotherham United, you know, 20 months ago, Rob, that we were signing League One players that were capable of playing at the top end of League One. So players that we're looking at now really have to be players that we could consider playing towards the top end. Not necessarily the top, where they're earning ridiculous sums of money, but playing towards the top end of the Championship. And so that's the type of players that we're looking to add to our squad. And if we're going to add to it, that's the type we'd like to bring here. Hence why there may be some value with one or two in Europe, and you know we've sent people out and they've had a look and reports have come back that are glowing. So it calls upon the manager, and I'm always on to the chairman to come with me and to look and see what we look at, how we do things. And I'm very, very lucky because I've got a guy that works, if somebody works 24 hours a day, it's probably Tony Stewart. And so I'm very fortunate on two fronts. One is that he wants to be with me, and secondly, he's paying. So it's great, isn't it?
There's a big, big game this weekend, and there's a team down the road who really wants to see Rotherham United win this one to give their chance of the playoffs a real boost. Just talk us through this match, because you've got some connections to Peterborough, haven't you?
Well, the connections I've got is that my family are Peterborough-based, aren't they? You know, my children are Peterboroughians, if there's such a word, and brought up in Peterborough and schooled in Peterborough, and their grandparents live in Peterborough, and I know they're all Peterborough fans. But I know the people there. I know Darren McCanton really well, the chairman, and of course Barry Fry, and of course the manager, Darren Ferguson, who I think is an outstanding manager for the level. And so we don't kid ourselves that it's going to be really tough for us on Saturday. And first and foremost, it's nobody helping anyone out, it's other than the Millers, because we're fighting ourselves to be in these playoffs. And you know, we know how difficult not just Peterborough is going to be, but arguably the next 8 or 9 days are hugely tough when you consider it's Peterborough, Brentford and Bristol City.
Who introduced you to Darren Ferguson then? Is that just two managers who've come to know each other, or is it the Sir Alex connection there?
No, it's not Sir Alex connection. I first came aware of Darren is when we were trying to mark him when he was a midfielder at Wrexham. And he's a fantastic, talented ball player. That was his remit, and he could get on the ball and pass it. And he was in the same team at Wrexham as, of course, of Andy Dibble. Dibble, we could find a way past, but we could never find Ferguson not to pass it. You know, and then obviously when Darren got the job at Peterborough, being in close proximity and having the relationship with the director of football, with Barry Fry there that I've got, then we met up and we've had a little drink together and the odd meal together. But I just think he's a manager and who's proven time and time again that when he has to win football matches and when it matters and he has to put a promotion campaign together, he does it. Not many people thought they could go to MK Dons last week and win. I did. I thought they would win. I thought they'd win comfortably because he would get it absolutely spot on. Having looked at the DVD, that was 2-6.
Mm. I'm sure you'll no doubt have a glass of wine or something after the game, but you want to win this one, don't you, on the day?
Oh, people don't want to think anything else. You know, I want to win every football match we play. You know, my boyhood love is Glasgow Celtic, but if it's Rotherham United against Glasgow Celtic, there can only be one winner for me, and it's in red and white shirts. You know, and it'll be the same on Saturday. But I think there's a lot of respect between both clubs. I certainly know at board level there's a lot of respect between our chairman and the Peterborough and the board, etc. So, and there's a lot of respect between the management teams. And you know, win, lose, or draw, you know, I'll arrive a proud manager for my 100th game, but it only really is meaningful if you go and get the 3 points, and that's why we're there, and it would be a fantastic weekend if we achieve it. But win, lose, or draw, we'll be back in here Sunday and preparing for Brentford.
I suppose one of the good examples of the working relationship you've got with Peterborough is Lee Frecklington, because that deal came about last year and he's done ever so well for you this season, hasn't he?
Well, of course, there's two former players going back to Peterborough and a member of the coaching staff. Andy Dibble, of course, was a big part of Darren Ferguson's success, but because of geography and family reasons, had to move back home. But you know, Craig Morgan was skipper for many games at Peterborough, an outstanding centre-back who they sold for close on, I think, $500,000 to Preston North End. And Lee Frecklington's a young man who's admired by everyone at Peterborough. When I go there on a regular basis and you speak to the staff behind the scenes and the car parks and the stewards, and you go up into your seat and you talk to supporters. And I know a lot of people, of course, are doing the town, and they're all Frecklington lovers, but so is Steve Evans, a Frecklington lover.
And last week we talked about how it was a significant weekend in League One with all the games that it was incredible, sort of the big games that all took place in the space of a couple of days as it was. Now that we've sort of moved past that, we've seen what the results are, how do you think the league has changed? How does it look a week on?
Well, I think if the games last weekend, of course, finished on Monday when Sheffield United and Preston drew 0-0, and I was interested in Nigel's words afterwards when he said that they were playing 5 of the 6 top sides in League One and they had just played the best. And I wonder if he thinks they've just played the best when they play Wolves, when they play Leighton Orient, when they play Brentford and they play us. I'm not so sure he might think they're the best at the end of that run. But he's done a fantastic job there. And if we can go and take points around the country and allow them back into the race, then great for South Yorkshire, and I really mean that. But from our point of view, it's an exciting race for the playoffs. I think there's one or two teams who are sitting below Peterborough who may still have a part to play in, and I don't put Sheffield United in that mix. I think the run's too difficult. And as I said last week to my staff and to my chairman, if Sheffield United force themselves into the playoffs the next 6 weeks with that run of games, they should put them on top of the stadium and put a statue over my early doors, you know. But it'll be interesting if they can get the results that they seem they're going to get, because they got a point at Preston, and if they're the best team, you should beat the rest, shouldn't you? So they're already favourites to beat us, never mind Wolves, Leighton Orient and Brentford.